Okay, praise God. I've been praying for you. Been praying that your faith would fail not. In this season, more and more I'm having people reach out to me and, David, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm anxious. I'm questioning my faith. I'm questioning God. Things are going on in my life, and I don't know. And so, with all of that, I want to bring a reminder to us that we have a way of escape. And that's the title of the message, is The Way of Escape. We live in a time where everywhere we look, I mean, turn on the news, scan through social media. Maybe even look at our own circumstances in our own lives. And it can leave us shaking. And so, on the one hand, I want to empathize because Jesus is a high priest who is touched with our weaknesses. He understands. And in the same way, I understand. There are many things, even in my own life at this very moment, that would threaten to shake me. And so, this is not a word of condemnation in any way, shape, or form. It's understandable. It is natural. With the things that we are going through in our lives and in the world, it's natural to be shaken. However, I want to remind us that we are not natural men and women. We are children of God, and His Spirit lives within us. And there's a call to live out of the Spirit and not out of the flesh. Because God promises that everything that will be shaken, that can be shaken, will be shaken. And so this is a season, and don't be surprised at the shaking. Don't be surprised at everything going on. But in the midst of it, let us hold fast to the way of escape. Before I talk specifically about that, I just want to talk about. I was praying the other day, and just this thought came to mind. It was like I was underwater holding my breath. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you do it for a while, and finally you get this point where it's like, oh, I just gotta breathe in. And in that moment, I realized I had a scuba mask on with the air supply. And I was like, oh, I can breathe. And how wonderful it is to breathe in that life-giving air when we've been holding our breath. As we take in so much of everything going on around us, it can be easy to forget to breathe. And breathing is our way of escape. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Again, just in the natural, in this season, as things in my own life, and as more and more people come knocking at my door, there's a song that comes to mind. And I don't remember the whole song, I just remember this one phrase from it. And it says, "Stop the world, I want to get out now." It's like, stop the car. I want to get out now. It's like, can the whole world just pull over to the side of the road for a moment, open up the door, and just let us get out for a moment? You know, like, really, I need an escape. Help. Let's just stop. Stop. Pause. Only the world just keeps on spinning and rocking and reeling to and fro. And in the midst of that, we need a way of escape. So let's talk about this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the first few verses here may sound a little harsh, even, but again, this is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of instruction in this hour. We're to learn from this so that we can stand fast in this time. So, starting with the first verse of 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant." So, pause. There, we can be ignorant. And that's not like a, you stupid, ignorant person. Ignorance is you just don't know. It doesn't mean you're horrible. It just means you don't know. If we're caught with the water surrounding us and we don't realize we have this oxygen mask on our face, that we don't have to hold our breath, that we can actually breathe, then that ignorance could very well kill us. It could squelch out the spiritual life within us. And so we hear this admonition, we hear this cry saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of what we have. So it says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, and drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So pause for a moment. Right here, we have the rock was Christ. In other words, he's saying those people in the Old Testament, they had baptism. They had Christ. And yet, verse 5, it says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Yikes. I mean, that doesn't sound real pleasant. It says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. So they were coming through the desert and they died in the desert because they didn't know the way. Well, they didn't walk in the way of escape. Instead, they set their hearts on evil things. Verse 7, it says, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did. They were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So pause for a moment again. So it's saying, look back, they are an example for us upon whom the end of the age is. I hear many people saying, wow, we're the end times, things are going on. Well, if you believe we're coming to the closing of the age, then there we go. Here's our warning. These things are a warning for us. That we would not fall in the same ways that they fell, that they would we would not be destroyed as they were destroyed. Verse 12 says, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 13, it says, no temptation has seized you except that it is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So, I want to pull out one specific area. We'll kind of expand it a little bit. But back there in verse 10, it says, do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. There is a tremendous temptation in this time and this hour to grumble. The children of Israel were going through the wilderness. God was providing their food, their water. It wasn't the type of food they wanted. You know, it wasn't everything that they so desired, but God was meeting their needs. And yet they were grumbling over and over and over. Things may not be exactly like we want, but let us not turn to grumbling. Let us not turn to this dissatisfaction. It doesn't mean that there's not opportunity to speak truth and work for changes in our society and such. But let's not be going around grumbling about everybody. Turn on the news. Watch social media. You know, it's rampant. It's everywhere. Everybody's grumbling and complaining and pointing fingers and to this place where we cannot breathe. It's squelching out the spiritual life within us. But God says there's a way of escape. There's no temptation. Say, well, I'm tempted to grumble. I'm tempted to fear. I'm tempted to be anxious. I'm tempted to whatever it is. It says there is no temptation where God doesn't give a way of escape. And so it's important that we not be ignorant of this way of escape, right? It's important that we not be ignorant or unaware of this oxygen mask that's on our face, that we can breathe in. We don't have to hold our breath. Part of this is the reminder of God. That God is, that He exists. Sometimes I think with everything going on, we can forget that God exists. That verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 10, after it says that there's a way of escape, verse 14 says, therefore, you know, because of these things, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is worshiping, giving our attention, our focus, our affection, our resources to something that is not God. We can give our thought life to idolatry. We can give our thought life to something other than God and His truth. We can give our lives to so many things other than God. So part of this way of escape is initially being reminded God is. And God is greater. We can look around and be like, but I mean, it's just crazy, or things in our own lives. But this is going on and that's going on. Yes, but let us be reminded of a God who is greater than it all, that nothing is too hard for Him. And in that, let's talk a little bit about this way of escape. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I think it's in my Bible somewhere here. Yep, there it is. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. You know what? Let's back up. Let's do Philippians 4, but let's start with verse 4. All of this is part of this way of escape. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it again, rejoice. That verse 4 right there. What was part of the trouble that we were warned about there in 1 Corinthians 10 is the people were grumbling. If you're grumbling, it's pretty hard to rejoice. And if you're rejoicing, it's pretty hard to grumble. So, yeah, but David, you don't understand. I've got trouble in my life. Well, I mean, personally may not understand the exact thing you're going through, but I understand trouble. I have trouble in my life at this very moment. I have things going on in my life right now that I would rather not be going through. But ultimately, we're coming to Christ. Christ knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to go through things that he did not want to go through in the natural. But here's the command. This is a way of escape. And on the one hand, it can sound a little harsh. You say, yeah, but things aren't going the way I want them to. I should be able to just grumble and let some of this out. Well, okay, if you don't want to breathe, if you want to be suffocated by it, then go ahead and grumble. And it'll cost you your spiritual life. Might even cost you your physical life. But here's the command. The way of escape, the command is rejoice always. Always is a big word. I mean, I understand. There are times in my life where I do not feel like rejoicing. I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't feel like praising God. Just in a very small way, here recently, the Lord's been having me just get my guitar out and sing praises to Him whenever my chronic back issue gets to the place where it's just gnawing at me. I mean, I'm always in pain. I've been in pain for over 10 years. And chronic pain is, it's no fun. And I know God's a healer. But at the moment, I'm in pain. But in these times of pain, God's been having me just begin to play my guitar and worship Him, praise Him, adore Him, rejoice in who He is. And though I may still be in physical pain, there's a freedom there that I can walk in life. I can walk in joy and peace, even in the midst of my flesh not lining up with the way I would like it to be lining up. So it says, rejoice always. Verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Wow. I think we could use some gentleness in our society in this time. Then this command in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, I want to go on both sides of this. On the one side, I want to empathize and say, I understand. I understand what it is to be anxious. I know full well in my flesh. I know what it is to be anxious, and that is natural. But let me remind us at the same time that we are not natural men and women. We have the Spirit of God within us. And we are commanded to not be anxious about anything. say, well, but I'm anxious. Okay, so again, let's talk about this way of escape. Rejoicing is part of it. And then following on in verse 6, it continues on. It says, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With prayer, with petition, and thanksgiving. Here we have opportunity in the midst of everything going on to come to the Lord. We can petition Him. Say, Lord, I need help here. By prayer. You know, prayer is not only lobbing a bunch of stuff at God and then walking away. Prayer is a two-way fellowship. It's bringing things before the Lord, but at the same time, taking time to just be still before Him. There are times in my life where I'll just spend time in stillness and prayer. And sometimes in those times, maybe a Bible verse will come to mind. Maybe some thought, kind of like this scuba diver needing to breathe. Thought comes to mind. Sometimes no word or whatever comes to mind, and yet still there can be a peace as I just turn my attention to the Lord. But we have to take every thought captive. We have to grab a hold of that which does not align itself with God and His truth and replace that with the truth. So it says prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. Again, we look back to the 1 Corinthians 10 with the children of Israel. They were going through and they were grumbling. They were not thankful. And again, if we want to empathize, we can say, well, yeah, there was a lot of reasons why they could grumble. I mean, yes, they had some food and some water and the bare necessities, but there was a lot of things that they even had in slavery. When they were enslaved in Egypt, they had some physical things that they didn't have right now. And so on the one hand, we can empathize and be like, we understand. But with that comes the command to not grumble. And to be thankful. If we fill our minds and we fill our mouths with what we are unhappy about, what we don't like, then we ain't going to be able to breathe. Our spiritual breath is going to be squelched out. Give thanks. Rejoice. Rejoice always. And so again, I bring this with all tenderness. I bring this empathizing in that I understand I have flesh. And our high priest, Jesus Christ, had flesh. He understands. But with that understanding comes the command. And the instruction to bring us out of ignorance and to say, you know what? Even with everything going on, there is a way of escape. And it's called prayer, petition, rejoicing, and giving thanks. I'd encourage you to write these things down. As you're hearing this message, write these things down. Write down the scripture passages. But write down these four words: prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. If we spend more time watching the news, reading social media, if we spend more time doing that than praying, petitioning, giving thanks, and rejoicing, then let me tell you, you will be shaken in this hour. You will be shaken. And you might not even survive. You might even just become overcome. Be overcome. Don't be overcome by evil. You have an oxygen mask on. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in His word, breathe out His word. You don't have to turn there, but you can go there on your own sometime. Psalm 23, in that passage, that well-known scripture passage, it starts out, it says, "The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want." Say, well, I'm wanting right now. I don't have everything I want right now. Well, that was the children of Israel's issue. They were in the wilderness and they didn't have everything they wanted. God was providing for their needs, but they didn't have everything they wanted. And they were grumbling about it. Let's be reminded that the Lord is our shepherd. He knows what we need. And He knows what we don't need. And let's choose to not want. Psalms 23 actually goes on, and towards the end of Psalms 23, it talks about God prepares a table for us, a place to eat, in the presence of our enemies. Even when our enemies are surrounding us, there's still this place of fellowshipping, this place of eating. Upon Him. His word is life. Again, we can feel surrounded by our enemies, whatever those enemies may be. And if we get our eyes locked upon that, we're going to be committing idolatry. Idolatry. Where we are exalting our enemies above our God, where we forget about God. Let me remind us in this time, in this season, in this hour, whether it is nationally, globally, or personally, in any of these spheres, if it's things going on and we're tempted to worry, don't forget about God, who is greater than it all. Don't forget. Choose to rejoice. Choose to give thanks. Choose to petition. Choose to pray. Say, yeah, but David, my situation isn't changing. Okay. Sometimes God changes the situation. And sometimes God allows the situation to change us. Let me say that again. Sometimes God changes the situation, and sometimes God allows the situation to change us. God didn't give the Israelites everything they wanted in the wilderness. He gave them what they needed. And they had the opportunity to say, well, will we allow the situations to draw our hearts to Christ, to draw our hearts to Him that we might know Him more? Or will we just grumble and complain and allow anxiousness to overwhelm us? Again, this message is not intended to be harsh. It's not intended to bring condemnation. But it is intended to bring instruction. And to bring us out of ignorance, that we would be aware that no matter what we are facing, God has given us a way of escape. There is no temptation. There is no temptation where there is not a way of escape. We may have to go through some hard things. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said, I know what it is to be shipwrecked. I know what it is to go hungry. I know what it is to, he went down the list of all the stuff. Read Hebrews 12. There's some great overcoming things of faith, and then there's some who went through incredible hardship all through faith. As I finish up here, I just want to remind us. I've said this a few times, but I'm going to say it again. You've got this oxygen mask on your face. And as you're going about, whether it's seeing the news, whether it's social media, whether it's just life in general, whether it's situations in your own life, whatever's going on, and you're like, and that anxiousness comes, or that dissatisfaction comes, or that, you know, this cry of stop the world, I want to get out now. When that cry starts rising up within us, let us be reminded that we have a way of escape. That we have that oxygen mask that we can breathe in. And it's called rejoicing, praying, petitioning, and giving thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Because we do have a shepherd. And we don't have to want. Doesn't mean that our flesh is going to get everything we want. But who we really are, we aren't going to be in need. And even if there's enemies surrounding us, God has set a table before us. And He invites us to come and dine. Read the scriptures. Spend time in prayer. Spend time thanking the Lord and praising Him for who He is and what He has done. So with that, I think we'll bring this to a close. Let me finish with prayer. Heavenly Father, let us be reminded that You are our good Father. That with everything going on, with all the temptations to fear and doubt and everything else, let us be reminded that You are a good Father. That You are a good Shepherd. That You know us. That You know what we need. That You allow what we need to be strengthened and to grow in our faith and our knowledge of You. Thank You that Your hands are strong and firm, that we can put our faith, our confidence in You. Father, forgive us for any areas of idolatry where we have placed our confidence in ourselves, or our confidence in people around us, or our confidence in situations. Forgive us for worshiping, for putting our trust in anything other than You. You are good. Thank You for Your provision. Thank You that You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. Thank You that even in the presence of our enemies, that You are there to provide for us. Thank You for the green pastures, the place that we can come to You. Thank You for the oxygen mask, as it were. The words spoken from Your mouth. Every word that proceeds from Your mouth. That is that life-giving spirit life. And thank You, Father, for giving us a way of escape. Thank You that that you have given us a way of escape. That in this world, you've given us a way of escape. That you've promised us that no matter where we find ourselves, we have a way of escape. Thank you, Father. And I just speak peace to your hearts. As it says there in Philippians 4, verse 7, after we have given thanks and rejoiced and petitioned and prayed, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.